Cody Lightning, welcome inside the Crazy Ant Farm, man. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Tanse, what's up, boys?
I love it. Dude, we are so pumped to talk to you. We're super excited, man. First of all, huge congratulations on Echo. The show is just like, it popped right up on Hulu and Disney Plus is like the most watched thing. Even caused people to go back and start watching other Marvel shows, which was fantastic. We could not be more happy for that. We're all in on that. We're huge geeks, Marvel fans, and so that's awesome. We are definitely going to talk all about that. But we want to dive in because your story is pretty interesting, man. We normally start off about how'd you get started in acting and was it something you always kind of knew you wanted to do. But I'm curious because if we did our research right, your family was involved in the industry and everything. And I always kind of find like that either makes you want to do it or run as fast as you can in the other direction. So which one was it for you?
It was a combination. So yeah, my mom. So I'm originally from Musquechase, Alberta, Canada, just south of Edmonton. Edmonton's the capital of Alberta. For the American listeners that don't know, it's frosty as hell up here. All last week it was minus 40 degrees, and I know the Celsius Fahrenheit comparison at minus 40, it's the same.
Yeah,
so it was minus 40. Yeah, Fahrenheit. Wow. As well. Everything was freezing. Our elevator shut down, and I was in LA during that time, so I got to miss that. Thank God.
Yeah, there you go.
But anyways, so I'm originally from here, and my mom. I was 3.5 years old. I was a toddler. She was in a performing arts program here in Alberta, and her teachers and instructors and stuff were like, "You're made for more than just here. You should go to LA or New York." And she said, "You know, I have three children. Where do I want to raise my children? And where would I want to do this? New York or Los Angeles?" So she did some research on both and said, "You know, I'll raise my kids in Los Angeles." So we made the move, a whole family move. My two other siblings, and myself, and my mom and my grandmother. And my mom was going to school, so my grandma, you know, took care of us a lot while we were in school. And my mom was going to performing arts school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. Okay. I believe that's in Pasadena.
Yeah.
I think that's in Pasadena. Yeah. So she was going there for acting, and she got us involved in the industry at a young age. So we did it as a family unit. And, you know, with Indigenous cinema, at the time, there weren't a whole lot of projects coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was maybe like one film per year, and everyone was doing what they could to be a part of that. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of fish in the barrel at that point.
Sure.
And we were just, you know, hoping to get involved in film and television any way we could. And then we all now have our own separate careers. And yeah, that's how it got started. So I was raised in Los Angeles. I lived there for about, 13 years?
Okay.
And then moved and just kind of tumbleweeded all over. I moved to Idaho. I lived in Boise, Idaho for a little while. I moved to New York. I spent time in Oklahoma, Minnesota, Washington, just kind of tumbleweeded all over and worked in the States.
Yeah.
And I've been back up here in Canada for the last 11 years.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm based here. I have my production company here, and we're working on projects here.
Oh, nice. I love that too, because I mean, throughout, you know, your telling of how you got started, you could tell that family and a good support system has always been very important to you, and how to, you know, keep you moving forward, because that is something that I feel like, you know, you even sometimes the people who are closest to you can be like, okay, what are you doing? We need to figure this out. You're not doing this right. You know, so it's always good to have passionate people who are basically doing the same thing as you as well. So that's really cool. And I feel like the beauty of it is nowadays, and it's interesting too, because from when you first started to where you are now, nowadays, I feel like you can really be anywhere and still be an actor. You know, I feel like maybe when you were first coming up, they really wanted you in the major hubs and trying to develop yourself as a professional. Was that hard to do in, you know, like an Idaho, or when you're traveling around the States trying to make it happen, but while also having real life happen?
Yeah. And I was in the transitional period of going from being in person, auditioning in person, callbacks in person and chemistry reads in person to this.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. And like, even when I cast my film, I did it through Zoom, and I've never worked like that before. So I had to do chemistry reads through Zoom. And it's like, well, what if, you know, in front of this person and we're not vibing or gelling, you know, and you just have to trust it. But this is the way it is now. You can self-tape in the comfort of your living room, or your, you know, a room in your house where you have a backdrop that's playing, and send in your self-tape, and, you know, put your name in the hat. And it's wild. And the way I got cast with like Marvel as well. And like, I was self-represented for pretty much the last 15 years.
I got all my
own work. I didn't have any agents or managers. And only recently now I have a solid team that's like helping me to, project my career forward and upward. But for years, because like I said, there was only one or two projects being cast.
Right.
So everyone kind of knows of the project. And exactly. I would just, you know, email people directly, or they would email me directly and say, hey, Codes, do you want to audition for this? I'd say, sure. And I got parts that way. And I had what's, you know, a survival job.
Right. Sure.
I did construction site cleanup. I worked at Costco for a summer. I did youth programs. I was a youth worker for the last 6 years on my res. Hockey player, hockey coach. So I was doing that.
Nice.
As well as working on my stuff and writing and working with friends and just living life. And you have, you know, I have children. So dealing with partners and children and just how the curveballs life throws at you with trying to have a career, it's chaotic. And then after I worked on Echo, you know, now I have a solid team that's, you know, they're on my team. They're trying to excel all of us to the next level. So that's amazing and awesome.
Well, and I love that you bring that all up, because the industry has ridiculously changed. I mean, we're filmmakers ourselves, and we know exactly what you're talking about. When we cast our film, it was all Zoom. And when we're casting our television series that we're working on right now, it's the chemistry reads are all Zoom. And I don't care how great your internet connection is or how great your stable and Zoom is. There's that pause every now and then, and you think it might be great chemistry. You're hoping, you're praying. But then, like you said, then you get in front of each other, and you're like, oh, maybe that only worked with the pause. Maybe this ain't going the way we wanted it to go, kind of a thing. So we understand that struggle. But I wanted to talk, too, because like you said, there was like only a couple things, and everybody knew about it, and you knew this is what you were going to audition for and everything. So I want to talk a little bit about the giant – for the right reasons or wrong reasons, because I feel like there's a little bit of both with Hollywood, the big dive now into diversity and casting people, because I feel like sometimes they're doing it all for the right reasons, and then other times they're casting people so they can meet the diversity quota. And it's not necessarily, they don't necessarily want that person for the role, but they have to have that person for the role type thing. And I think that's a great thing and a bad thing, because if somebody that deservedly deserves the role is missing out because of, or vice versa. So, you know, I think everything comes with the good and the bad. You got to weigh it out and you got to figure it out. But I am glad to see and talk about a little bit about your point of view on it, the diversity in action. Echo, let's just talk about Echo. It's an amazing representation of indigenous people. It is a legit for the hearing impaired community. She's actually an amputee. I mean, they're just like nailing it on everything possible. It's like, we're gonna hammer the disabled. We're going to talk about the hearing. We're going to talk about indigenous. We're going to bring it all in. And that's not always an easy thing to do, right? Especially like when they're talking about, they've kind of changed up where her powers came from. So we're talking about, we're going into these flashbacks and seeing indigenous and their belief systems and their all this kind of stuff. That's amazing. So talk about that. Were you excited to jump on board this show because of that? Is it one of the reasons that you really wanted to get on board with that? Talk about the whole experience there.
Yep, 100%. So our representation has been for years and years and years, centuries, not by us and not for us.
Yes.
And I grew up with kids that only knew of the Cleveland Indians Indian and the Redskins Indian, and that's what you look like. That's who you are. Like, that's it.
Right.
And that's not reality. And like, for me personally, my projects are very contemporary. Res life or reservation life is both beautiful and dark and nasty at the same time. It's everything. And with Res Dogs, you were able to see some of it in both lights.
Right.
In the projects I'm making, you're going to see a very, very dark side to it, but with humor that comes through, because my reserve, where I come from, it's very dysfunctional. And I will say that. And no one from my community will say otherwise. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, there's beauty to it. Yes. With our culture, our ceremonies and everything, that's beauty. But there is so much dysfunction. But we are a humorous people. Even in the darkest parts of our lives, where we're losing people to drugs, suicide, trauma, all sorts of stuff, we're still able to laugh. We're still laughing. Even at a funeral, we're cracking jokes.
Yeah.
Even when you hear this terrible news, we're cracking jokes. And that's what I personally am making my projects on, because I've had some very dark things happen to me, especially in the last few years. Throughout my life, there's been these checkpoints of I say checkpoints, but like these moments that really have affected my life in the last 5 years heavily, in a very harsh, dark way.
Yeah.
And it was on me to decide if I'm going, like, with the grieving process, if I'm going to stay down there in that pit of just, you know, screw this shit, this sucks, I hate it, or are we going to crack some jokes and let's get up here? And that's where I'm coming from with my project. So if you see Hey Victor, and then also my other script that I wrote that we're pitching to hopefully make this next year, you're going to see the very dark side of our community, but a crazy, hilarious, you know, I don't know what word to use here, but like just in our humor to get through that stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
for instance, like one of my very close friends passed away 2 years ago, and his brother, who's another good friend of mine, as he's being lowered into the ground, he's looking back, cracking jokes at us. And I'm like, it's not even in the ground yet, and you're cracking jokes, but this is what we do. This is what we do to like get ourselves through. So as far as like Echo and the representation of that, like the cultural aspect and everything, it's so beautiful and so amazing. Me personally, in my personal life, with my personal projects, I'm showing like a darker side.
Sure.
Almost like Shameless, like the show Shameless. Like,
yeah,
I was just about to say, yeah,
it's so dysfunctional and dark and crazy at times, but it's hilarious. You're like, no way, you know. That's along the lines, or like the show FUBAR, or like Trailer Park Boys, like those really, you know, crass, vulgar, you know, humor. Those are the projects that I'm going to be creating.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's so important too, because what you're doing is you're bringing a reality to something that, like you said, back in the day, they only know you from sports teams and know your representation from sports team. It's like, no, this is not a cartoon figure. This is our reality, and this is what we are doing. I think that's so important because, you know, there's so many misinterpretations about different things. Because I know in different communities as well, there are some a little hesitation about like talking about mental health and these type of things. And so to be able to have your process on how you are able to, you know, get through things, you know, there's no right or wrong way to get through some sort of trauma, your friend dying, you know, there's no right or wrong way to get over that or get through that other than your process, whatever you feel is right for your soul, your body, to be able to keep moving forward. So I think that is also amazing to hear, because we need more stories like that. We talk about all the time, like, We need stories that start conversations because that's how difficult conversations are had. It definitely makes it a lot easier. We always say the best form of education is through entertainment as well. So to be able to do that with what you're doing, I feel like is absolutely amazing because not enough of these stories are being told. So thank you for your trial and your effort to what you're doing to the entertainment space, because like you, we are trying to do the same thing as well. We want people to leave the theaters, or we want people to be in the living room, talk about these deep, dark subjects. We want people to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's just reality of the situation. But man, I'm just like, I don't know. I can feel your energy, like, and it's infectious. It's got me going. I'm really excited about it. But just like, you know, I mean, when you get in these type of situations, like when you sit down and start writing it, you tell what you know, right? Because it feels like you're not even really putting any thought into this. You're like, I'm going to write what I know and tell my story. And so is that kind of how it goes? Or are you like, okay, I want to make a film, or I want to make a project about indigenous people so I can put that out there?
No, it's never been about that. It's literally, it's very personal, a lot of my stuff.
Yeah.
And before I'm a writer, I'm a storyteller. I love telling stories. And I have friends that are writers that are like, you need to write exactly like you speak, exactly like you tell the story.
Yes. Right.
Put it down, and people will gravitate towards that. And just how I am constantly with sharing stories, I've put myself in crazy situations and just literally just telling stories of my friends, my families, my uncles, my children, the kids that I've worked with, the experience that I've had, or experiences that I've had with in life. I'll share a story and people are like, you could make that. So that's what I'm doing. And for years, I was only getting put out for kind of serious roles.
Yeah.
And people that know me were like, why aren't you going out for like comedic shit? Like, you're hilarious. Like, we love listening to your stories. And I'm like, I'm not getting put out for that. I'm not getting those opportunities. So it's like, well, make your own. And finally, I was like, all right, I will. And I got together with my partner, Sam Miller, who I wrote Hey Victor with.
Yeah.
And we went up to the cabin in Banff, Canada, and got silly for a week and a half. And I was just pacing back and forth in a onesie, drinking beers and telling stories. And he was like, you know, and we went back and forth and we pumped out the script, and it works. And the same thing with this other project that we're working on. It's an indigenous hockey film. Because hockey's huge here where I come from, especially in the indigenous community, and my experiences both as a coach, as a father, as a mentor, as a community member, and just the crazy things that I've seen and experienced and have seen others experience. We're going to put that in there. So you're going to have it is not a safety project. And I've said that before in other, you know, chats I've had with people. I've had ideas, and I've had friends who have had ideas for projects, and you know, some time goes by and it's like, hey, did you ever get that made? No. Why not? Because I got denied like 3 times. Well, why? Because it doesn't fit into this like criteria of, oh, that's right up our alley with what we want to make. It's not all about sometimes healing comes through vulgarness or like a dark path.
Yeah.
It's not all about like, this is who we are as a beautiful people, and this is our culture, and this is all this. Like, no, it's not always about that. I have had friends who have completely stopped trying to make their projects because they've been told no a couple times. But you know, we're a resilient people, so look how long we've lasted now. And now it's finally coming through where we're, you know, our stories are able to be told by us, where we have allies that are able to help us. And it's not 100% on this other person, non-Indigenous people, making these things and capitalizing on it. And it's us. And so with that, with my stuff, like I told you guys before, it's my projects are not going to be pretty to some. They're going to offend. They're going to, you know, trigger. And it's fine. but that's real. That is reality where I come, where I'm from, like exactly. My community.
Well, and yeah. I love that you're brave enough to do it, because like you said, so many people go, oh, well, they don't want to hear that, so I'm just not going to make it. And that's just crazy. And I love what you said, that sometimes healing is, you know, from a dark place, because you can't have light without darkness. They have to exist together. You have to go through the darkness to get the light, to get the healing. And so to know that and to put that out there for the world, I love that. And I'm glad that you're doing it in a vulgar way or an offensive way, and maybe, and that's going to strike people, because I was doing some research and nothing to do with this interview or anything else. I was looking into, and I saw that amongst Pacific Islanders and indigenous, the suicide rate is like ridiculously higher than in other races. And oh, yeah. I was thinking to my, and but now we're hearing you talk and we're like, hey man, sometimes that life on the res ain't so great, you know, kind of a thing. And so I think that your bravery to put these stories out there and go, we deal with a lot of things with humor, but we're coming from some dark areas and some dark places, and this yep. is how we get through it. And I think that's the right way as a filmmaker, as a storyteller, to put that out there. And you're so spot on. And whoever your buddy was that said, no man, you need to write it like it, just say it like you're saying it, because that's so true. That's the dialogue that connects. They want people that are real, that they go, nope, I'm that guy, or I know that guy, and that's how you get it. So all fantastic stuff, man. And I could see that. I'm just gonna say it, I think you brought a little bit of you, now that you're bringing it up, and people were saying, why aren't you doing comedy yet? Biscuits? Yeah, you brought yourself into Biscuits. There's no doubt about that. The Biscuits was humorous from start to finish. I freaking loved him. He had this attitude about him. It's like, yeah, I fucked up that truck, but you know, I'm going to fix that, so, you know, kind of thing. So talk about that. You brought a lot of yourself into the character, right? I'm assuming so, because Biscuits was spot on. I think he's the one guy in the whole show that everybody was like, I'm that guy. I can relate to that guy.
Oh, big time. So when I got cast for this, and I had my first couple meetings with Sydney Freeland and Kat, the directors and the other producers and stuff like that, it was a huge Zoom call.
Yeah.
The biggest event. It was like 20 people on the Zoom. I was like, holy crap. And so I'm thinking, because you know, Marvel, there's a lot of security, and
yes.
I didn't know what I was getting into at first. And I'm like asking questions, so this and this and that about the character, family dynamic, all this stuff, just getting the basic details. And I was like, do I got to get buff? Do I got to, you know, clean up my act? Like, have you seen my social media? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm kind of a wild person. Am I going to get in trouble or about for anything? Like, then the wheels start turning like this is big time.
Yeah.
And Sydney like muted everyone and was like, Cody, we love you for who you are. Bring that. And I was like, okay, well, I have a dad bod, like a belly, but strong legs because I play hockey, but I still have a belly and, like, you know, all good. Like, cool. Yo, we want that. And I was like, sweet.
Fantastic. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I love everything. Yeah.
I love it.
Like, and Sydney's an amazing director to work with. And all the other actors, we gelled so, you know, the family dynamic of everything just gelled so smoothly. There was minimal effort to make it feel authentic, to be honest, like working on it to like make it feel like this is real. Like, this is my grandmother who's giving me, you know, flack here, and I'm the baby of the situation, and my situation with the cousins and all that stuff. And my uncle, like, it was so, I'm not going to say it was that easy, but it was in a way easy to fall into like that character. And I'm the baby of my family. Like,
oh, there you
go. The baby. And I have been spoiled in some ways in like by my mom. So like even my own sister's been like, well, why does he get this and that? And I'm like, rah, rah, rah. And then we're going at like, you know, like, so it worked.
Hell yeah.
I love that, though. I mean, that dynamic is so important to have. And I mean, it definitely shows on screen and it comes out through your character. So that's really cool. I'm curious, too, because I know they bounce around a little bit with these things. Where was it shot? Was it shot in Atlanta?
Yeah, just south of Atlanta. Yeah. It was hot, man. Oh, my gosh.
I bet.
Brutal. So I'm a winter person. Like, I can't flip the camera around, but it's there's snow all over. I grew up snowboarding. I rode snowboards and did contests. I play hockey. I'm a winter person.
Hell yeah.
Even though I grew up in Los Angeles, people are like, well, you should be used to the heat. Yeah, doesn't mean I like it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
being down in Georgia, oh my God, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Oh,
the humidity kills you. It's an absolute, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We get it. We originally formed the company in the New Orleans area, so we know about that humidity, brother. We are right there.
And we're both Yankees, you can imagine. I'm like, I'm from Syracuse, man. I'm like right by Canada, you know, and it literally has to drop below freezing before I'll put pants on. I'm like, everybody's like, it's like 17, you're wearing shorts. I'm like, yeah, I'm wearing shorts. I don't care. Hockey. What position did you play?
Usually center or right wing.
Yeah.
So I only took this last year off because I got work, and I didn't want to mess up my face, nose, my teeth. And I don't like wearing a cage. I'm not going to wear a cage. I'll wear a visor, and I usually wear that tilted back. I don't want to wear one, but in the league, I play and you have to wear. And so I wear it tilted back, but I don't want to catch a puck or an elbow to the face and wreck any opportunities.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. No, I asked because I played too, dude. I'm in the net. I played in the net and I play too. And I love it. I mean, I feel you on that. There's a certain passion when you're out there playing, man. And you just, I loved it. I loved it. So cool, man.
That's so great. I love it. It's so fun to get to know everybody past, you know, the standard. Let's talk about your career. Let's talk about the industry. But I mean, it's always fun, man. It's always fun.
Yeah.
Well, what we like to do to finish up our interview segment is hit you with a little bit of popcorn questions. We have five questions for you that they're fun. They're fun. Some will make you think a little bit, but you know, hopefully not too hard, because we know you got some knockouts from hockey. Okay, we know now.
Is there a kill one, bone one, marry one?
Oh man, no, but we should add that one in because look how quick he said that. He must have those answers right there. Now we might add that one in. Like, who do you want to kill, bone or marry, my man? Come on, just lay it out. Marvel said they love you for you, okay? You're not going to be in trouble. We won't tell anybody.
What he was referring to. He was like, I'm kind of wild. Are you sure I'm okay? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. That's so fantastic. Funny.
But I'm curious, though. The first one we always ask is, what do you think was the funniest moment or most memorable moment on the Echo set?
So one of my favorite moments was on my birthday. I had to film on my birthday, which is August 8th. Mm-hmm. And I love wiener dogs. I was a wiener dog owner at one point, and they brought a wiener dog to set that day. Oh. Yeah, because I worked with BJ, Billy Jack, or his actual name was Buzz, my dog in the show. And the animal handler brought a wiener dog that day. And I was just like, oh, and then that day, so Devery Jacobs, myself, and Pishon Bread, we all share the same birthday, and we were rehearsing a scene, and so they brought everyone in for the rehearsal, and Sydney was like, okay, ready, and they sang happy birthday to all three of us.
Nice.
And I melted my heart. I was like, no, oh my gosh. Like, I wasn't expecting it because I didn't even tell anyone it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And but they knew, and they sang happy birthday to all three of us, and it just melted my heart. It was awesome.
Dude, that's
Also, another funny moment was just with Alakwa and I. The scene got cut. But it was Alakwa and I in a car, and we're driving. And Alakwa, when she signs, sometimes she whispers quite loudly.
Yeah.
And I forgot. Sometimes I would forget that she's deaf. I'm serious. Like, because I would hear her when she signs, she was loud like that. Mm-hmm. She would whisper, and sometimes I would hear her, and I would sign back. But she was asking me a question about my daughter, and I didn't quite, so I wasn't paying attention to her sign. I heard her whisper it loudly, and I went, huh? And like, to talk to her, and she looked at me like, really? Billy Cody, and I was like, oh crap, oh sorry, I forgot.
That is hilarious. Oh, that's a good one.
I forgot she was deaf real quick.
And hey, mad props for that too, because I read a story there that you guys all learned sign language to be able to communicate with her and everything, which I just thought was phenomenal. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's an awesome thing. Okay, I'm really curious about this one. The next question is, because your head seems like all over the place right here. If you could live inside any movie or TV show, which one would you pick and why?
Any movie or TV show? I'd say Ninja Turtles Part 1. I would love to. So now, I would love to play Casey Jones.
For sure, yeah. Okay.
Love the Ninja Turtles. I'm a skateboarder. Michelangelo was an idol of mine growing up. any other TV show or movie? I love True Romance. Love True Romance.
Okay. All right.
Heroes. There's a movie called Huck and the King of Hearts. Mm-hmm. With Graham Greene actually is in it.
Okay.
And yeah, he's like a card shark, and he like I forgot his name, but he's the actor. He's in Sandlot. He plays Squints, and it's him and Graham Greene, and he runs away from home, and him and Graham Greene have like this like cool hobo runaway relationship.
Nice.
And they help each other. Yeah.
Well, we know you've bounced around tumbleweed all over, so you could totally live that and be real, right? Now, though, I can't get the image of Casey Jones with a dad bod out of my head now, though. I'm like, I want to see Casey Jones with the stick and the dad bod. Like, that's how you should be, right? I mean, come on.
Eating a greasy cheeseburger.
Yes. That's fantastic, man.
That is so freaking funny. I love it. Well, I mean, if you could work with anyone, who would it be?
If I could work with anyone, who would it be? Holy moly, there's lots.
Right?
Not like I love working with the people I've worked with already. I love working with Black Horse Low, Sterling Harjo, Sidney Freeland, Stephen Paul Judd. But if there's anyone, I would say, I don't know. Shoot, that's a tough one. there's a lot of like independent filmmakers and like friends. Yeah. I would want to work with my friends. Oh. There's like big time. I would want to work with my friends to create something that would like boost them up.
Man,
to be honest,
that's awesome.
What a great answer. That that's a great answer. Okay, well, if you thought that one was hard, here we go. I'm going to do my Barbara Wawa's hit on you now. If you could go back in time and talk to your 10-year-old self, what would you say?
God, this can go in a couple different directions. This can go in a really nasty direction, a really vulgar, perverted direction,
right?
Yeah,
or like a really safe, kind, soft direction.
Hey, man, we've got the E next to it. You go whichever way you want to go, my friend.
You know what? 10-year-old Cody, live, laugh, love. You know what, fella? Just live, laugh, love. No, absolutely not. Don't go snowboarding when you're 14.
Oh, do we want to know? We probably don't want to know why.
That's a very personal thing.
I got very hurt.
I have a really bad nerve damage in my right hand that has affected me. It's affected me. So when I learned sign, I had to learn with my left hand because my right hand, I have really bad nerve damage in it now.
Yeah.
And people don't really know that unless I mention it. But there's been scenes where I have to hold a gun. There's been scenes where I had to do things physically that I can't because my right hand. And it was one day. I remember it was one day I wanted to go snowboarding because I used to snowboard all the time. I did contests and stuff. And I was like, I want to go. And my auntie was like, no, you should just stay home today. I was like, no, I'm going. and I went and I got really hurt. So don't go. Forgot the date. I forgot the date. But don't go snowboarding from the age of four. Yeah. 13 to 15.
All right. Hey.
Anywhere in between there.
That's right.
That's so funny. That's so funny. This last one is a little deep. Are you happy with your career so far?
100%. I have had a lot of longevity in this. I've had ups and downs and stuff like that. And there's that cliche, like, if you can change anything about your life, what would you change? Nothing, because, you know, it made me who I am. But really, I've heard that before. But, like, I've had an amazing career. And sometimes, like, I have to pump the brakes with myself. And it's really, like, my mom and, like, close people to me that are like, you've accomplished so much.
Mm-hmm.
So much. And I'm still doing that. But at my age and throughout my life, like, these checkpoints in life. And I look and I'm like, I've done this, that, the other thing. Holy crap, man. I'm so honored and blessed that I've been able to do this. And I look at, like, there's millions of people, and everyone watches movies, everyone watches TV, and I get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I get to have a piece of it, and it gets to have a piece of me. Mm. And it's a blessing. Like, I don't take any of it for granted ever. Anytime I'm ever offered something or have to work to gain something in this industry, it's such a bonus. And, like, just today, going back to my community, there was a couple of people that were like, hey, are you Cody? Oh, keep making us proud, brother. Like, hell yeah. And it, like, warms my heart, man. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
so amazing. So just the fact that I get to be in this industry, and I've had my ups and my downs. I'm over it. I'm giving up. I hate this. I love this, and everywhere in between. And I still do it. I still do it. And I forgot his name. He was the actor. He's on Low Key. He was on. He won an Oscar last year.
Key.
Yeah.
Key?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was on
Ho Kwan or something like
yes,
that.
Yes. 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 Sorry. He was on. He's been in so much. Sorry, it's so much on my mind right now. But in his speech, he was like, "I almost gave up on my dream," you know. Mm-hmm. And don't give up on your dream. And it's true, because you can. Like, I've had survival jobs where mm-hmm. I was like, this is what it's going to be. Like, I'm going to be doing this, you know?
Yep.
And it's okay. But it's temporary. And, like, now everything's, like, back in action. And things are happening in an amazing way. But with that, something that I've been getting used to is the balance in life. Because right. I have a regular life with, you know, children, family, community, everything that's kind of heavy. And then all these amazing opportunities. So I'm still for years now, especially right now, getting used to that balance. You know, it's a beautiful thing through the good days and the bad. And I'm just taking it as it is. And I'm truly, truly blessed, to be honest. I'm truly blessed that I get to do what I do for a living. I get to make a living doing it. And it's...
Mm-hmm.
Freaking awesome,
man. Dude, yeah. That's so, you just inspired a whole lot of people to mm-hmm. keep going after the dream, because you're real about it. Yeah. You're gonna have some bad days, you're gonna have some great days, you might have to have a survival job, but it's temporary. But you can dude, I think that's a perfect way to end this thing, because I think there's a lot of people out there who face those challenges and think it's the end, think they can't get it done, and you're living proof that you can if you just ride through it and keep going with it and get to do. And the other part of that is be grateful. Be grateful for the bad days and the good days, because it's all part of it, my man. You are very inspiring. This was a lot of fun. You are hilarious, but then bringing the truth, and I love that. Anybody that can mix that humor while bringing the truth, even when the truth ain't so good sometimes, dude, our favorite kind of people, my man.
Thanks, yo.
Of course, man. Of course.
I love it. Well, you know, it's all about social media now, so where can people follow you?
The only social media platform I have right now is Instagram. It's lightning.cody. I've been off Facebook for a couple years now, and I don't do, like, TikTok or anything like that. However, like my team has been saying, you need to get on TikTok. Like you would crush on TikTok. It's just, I'm such a Neanderthal with technology. I'd be like, wait, how in a pool? Wait, why are there big booty pictures popping up?
Oh yeah.
So like I'll probably get on TikTok soon because so many people have told me to do it. And then, you know, I have friends that are like, hey man, give us your password. We'll run the thing for you. So you don't have to like stress about it. Even with Instagram, I'm like, oh, look at a winter dog video. Sweet. Oh wait, why am I? Hold on. Wait, what's going on here? So anyways, Instagram is the only social media handle I have right now. And that's lightning.cody. That's
easy enough. Easy Rather enough.
That. Yeah. Hell yeah. We'll send all of our fans your way. And everybody be sure to check out Echo right now on Disney Plus. Stream all episodes. They're all available. And man, oh man, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have to have you back on for the mental health podcast as well, because I feel like, you know, you have a lot of stuff with along those lines as well. And we get deep on that one, and we talk about trauma and like events and like day to day life and day to day anxieties and things like that. So I think you'd be really good for that.
For sure.
Boom. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. Well, listen, brother, take care. Thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Bye. All right. Talk about energy, man. These past couple weeks, I mean, people have been bringing the energy.
Oh, everybody, yeah.
It's like, damn, we don't have to freaking strike anymore.
Exactly. I mean, it's like just – and passion. I think it's the passion behind it. I loved how he just – that's got to be my favorite answer so far when they say, who would you want to work with? He said, my friends. I want to make movies with my friends. That was awesome. That was an awesome answer. I think that sums up who he is, who Cody Lightning is. He's that guy, and I love that, man. What a fun interview.
It was so good. Like I said, be sure to check out Echo right now on Disney Plus. It's freaking amazing.
Biscuits!
Thank you again, Biscuits, aka Cody Lightning, for coming on the show.